Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast presented by MAP. Before we get underway, if you could subscribe to the podcast and give us a follow on the socials, that would be absolutely fantastic. On to today's episode, it is with a former Australian champion on the road in Miles Scottson. We talk about his time growing up in South Australia, how he got into cycling, Olympic Games, World Championships, going professional with BMC, and we also talk about his new venture with Groupama FDJ and what that has in store for him. So we really hope you enjoyed the episode, and thanks for listening. Thanks, Kono. Miles, is it good to be back in Adelaide, mate?
Yeah, it is good, especially good to be back at this race as well.
You've just come off the Nationals where it didn't really go to plan for you. Can you talk us through your race and what ended your race?
Yeah, so a pretty short race for me, but that's Nationals, and I kind of knew it going into that maybe there would be a decisive break that goes and you had to be there. Didn't expect it would go on lap two. So I was a bit disappointed at myself at Nationals that I threw away a chance. But, I mean, yeah, some good luck some years like I've had, and then next year it's not as good. So, yeah, basically we had that breakaway go at the beginning, and then on the second lap they just went boom and the race exploded, and I was I don't know what I was thinking, but I was right down the back, and I tried to make up as much as I could on the second bit of climb to get there, but gaps had opened. So, and then unfortunately after that there was a crash. I can't remember, it must have been lap four, beginning of a climb, where I kind of connected with another rider on the beginning of the hill, when I basically just decided there and then that was my day done and went back to the tent. I'd had enough, and I mean, I was okay, but I knew the race is done, and I wasn't there to just ride and finish. I was there to have a crack. So, once you basically threw in the towel and called it a day.
Let's talk about how you started cycling. We're here in Adelaide for the TDU, and you're from Gawler. Whereabouts is that? It's kind of a little bit out of Adelaide.
Yeah, it's out north. You go down Main North Road if you want to take a trip out there.
Many people take a trip out there to check out Gawler.
It's not super scenic drive out there. But, it's where I grew up. I mean, it's where I went to school. Spend an hour from here. And, it's good for doing big days, ride a city, meet with a group, and ride back home. So, yeah.
How did you get into cycling? Do you remember your first time racing or training or whatever?
Well, I was racing BMX from when I was, I guess, competitively from 7 to about 14. And about 14, 15, it's when BMX came Olympic sport. I was getting pretty good. And they got some of those BMXs in kind of a national program and did some testing at the track. So my first time on the track was with a BMX group, just doing some, you know, sprint tests, all different testing on us. They were trying to get more sprint cyclists, and then we had option to go test for the talent ID, and I just decided to, and I started doing with the BMX some TID stuff with the Sassy TID squad, my endurance was kind of actually, obviously BMX is a sprint sport, but I was starting to get pretty fit and I was going well endurance, and I think after a year, I kind of started racing BMX less and less. I went through to the World Championships in Perth, the like 15-year boys, and because it was in Australia, but I was barely riding my BMX bike in the lead up. I was just doing track, and I think I'd had a road bike by then, and I knew it was done. So I swapped across, and also around the same time we had the old Jack Bobridge move in next door to my parents. So I was at racing BMX at the time. So I already started to follow the road and track a little bit, seeing what he'd done. He must have been under 19s, I think, second year under 19 when he moved in. And I was just obviously young. And he come back from Europe 1 year. I think he'd won the under 23 world TT. And I was like, oh, hey, I do cycling now as well. And, yeah.
Can I come riding with you?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what happened. Did a couple of rides and then, yeah. So that was, kind of my transition into cycling and just kind of gradually stopped the BMX and never rode my BMX bike again.
So how old were you when you got into the Sassy program? I must. That's the South Australian Institute of Sport for those.
It's hard to say the age. I remember I was in the SASSI TID as a first year under 17. And I raced a little bit with some competitions around Australia. I think I might have done track nationals in the under 17 squad first year. And then I was full time by second year under 17. So I would have been about, 15, I think.
And it was track and road?
It was track, just track in the beginning. I was a pretty terrible road rider on the road. I was always racing against, like, say, Ed Mull or someone. They'll tell you I was okay in my first year on the track, but pretty bad on the road. And then by second year, I was doing a lot more road Ks and also doing the road. So, yeah.
Do you have any good results as a under 17 or an under 19, or were you kind of just mediocre?
Kind of mediocre. Still am a bit, but no. Second year under 17, I was second in the crit to Tom Hamilton and third.
Tom Hamilton, he was that.
And third in the road race behind Caleb Ewan and Tom Hamilton as well. When Caleb used to put us to the sword on the climbs, not the sprints and the sprints, but he also used to go good on the climbs back then. I guess I was third in the road race, second in the crit, and maybe got top 10 in the TT, but I wasn't really TT until under 19, I guess. Second year under 17, I had some good result, I guess, at Nationals. It was probably my first big results,
And then 19s, anything to report there? Did you go to Junior Worlds or anything like that?
No, just a track for Junior Worlds.
Got yourself a Team Pursuit World title there, no doubt.
Yeah. I think I had a third at the National TT behind Caleb Ewan and Alex Morgan as well when Caleb came out and won the National
TT
under 19 Tantra. I think Morgs won the crit and Caleb won the TT. It was kind of back, like you'd think Morgs would have won the TT and Caleb win the crit. But
Robbie John won the road race, is that correct?
Yeah, Robbie John won the road race. I let him out in that sprint and kind of connected with Caleb, and there was a disqualification there for that, and I think he probably forgotten about it now, but he wasn't too happy at the time when I turned right into him as he was coming past. And Robbie John, did a really good sprint. He was on sprinting really well that year and won the under 19 title against Caleb.
So when did you start getting into international team? On the track, was that still as an under 19, or was that when you turned into under
20? So I went to Junior Worlds as a second year under 19, kind of just scraped into the squad. And then I went into the camps with the elite group, kind of we're all smashing away with Ian McKenzie trying to make teams. And I didn't make the World Championships that year. And then I made it the following year where Tim came in as coach and we were world champions in Colombia. So I was always, doing some road as well, but pretty focused on Team Pursuit for a while, trying to make that squad, and obviously won two world titles. Didn't ride at the Olympics, which was probably the end goal to get there, and that didn't happen, but still had two really good world titles. So it was, it was a good time in the track program.
What was Tim like as a coach? Because everyone talks that he's the most invested coach of all time. What's your experience with Tim Decker?
I still keep in contact with Tim, but I stopped working with Tim 2016. Obviously, then I turned professional and just changed coaches. But it's funny because Tim came to Adelaide as a sassy coach when I was a second year under 17, and then I under 19 started being coached by Tim, and he was very. He had a bit of a different style of coaching back then when we were under 19s, under 23. I think it was a bit more old school back then. And now, obviously, he's not training with the old school techniques with the OzTP guys. It's quite different now. So, and it's changed again since I was there in the track program. But back then it was like he was more than a coach, like a mentor as well. And I think definitely came through with a good mentality for some of the road stuff as well because of Tim, I think. Now, obviously, it's more just a training for Team Pursuit guys, but I really remember that period with Tim that it was like, you work on your mentality as well and as well as your, strength and training and everything. Yeah. And I think that's actually pretty important. You can forget it in Australia as you're coming through that you need direction and you do need to be told to kind of harden up every now and then. And it's, you know, it's not just about doing these efforts and watts per kilo, which is super important now in the sport these days. But yeah, felt like, you know, I had a few kick up the asses from Tim over the years, and it was probably good.
It was 2014, your first season with the JKAAS on the road.
Yeah.
How was that transitioning into the road on a more, not full time, but doing a lot more Ks and racing on the road in Europe?
Yeah, so I went over there just to, I think we only, you were over there that year, and me and Alex came over, Edmondson, we're part of the track program. We came over and did a couple of months before we went to Commonwealth Games. And yeah, it was really good period, and it was good to do short blocks, because I remember like first month you do about a month or two in Europe and you're already getting homesick being away from Australia. So we did that short block, and then I went off for the camps for Commonwealth Games and everything. But yeah, I can't remember what the races, did some one day races and an Olympias tour as well. Olympias tour. I had about 10 crashes there. but a good prologue actually, and we nearly won that team time trial if we didn't have a puncture. But yeah, that was good period, and just gave me that taste of Europe, and then stayed in Australia for the rest of 2014 before going full time in Europe 2015 with that squad.
Did you hit that summer 2014-15 pretty hard, because you went out and did the under 23 TT and road double? Was everything just coming together that summer?
I think we were doing my first 2 years under 23. I never did the road race at Nationals, and it was more still track-based, you know, doing Tassie Carnivals, etc. I think I just did the TT as the second year, under 23. And then next year, I had a plan with Tim that I'd do both and do like a real road build-up to try and have a crack. And won both that year, which was pretty good start. And I think that kind of made me realize that road was a option for me to go for as well, and not just be a sole track rider.
And then you went in to do TDU with UniSA.
That
pretty cool, like an Adelaide boy doing TDU.
Yeah, first TDU was really, really exciting. So because I have to say, I've been reading all the stuff that's going on with the UniSA squad at the moment, and I'm going, man, come on, it's just TDU. People get this upset. And I had to think back, actually, I was so excited when I was doing my first TDU.
Absolutely.
And going into UniSA squad was a really big deal. And we had a super year. We had two stage wins with Jack and then Steele. We had the Yoka jersey. We had the KOM jersey. We had a fun week. And, yeah, there was
a big night on the source on the Sunday night.
There was a big night. There might have been a couple of big nights during my first UniSA. But then we had old Dave Sand as well. It was a really good, really good first taste of World Tour racing.
And then the rest of that season on the road with JKAAS, your first full-time season away for 6 or 7 months. How did you cope with that? Because it can be pretty tricky, can't it?
Yeah, exactly. And long time away in Europe that year, I think till after the World Championship. So I had a injury that in the middle of that year, so I was out for a while and just trying to come back for the Worlds when I had a crash and tore my ACL. But I was able to get back on the bike and come back pretty well. But I remember that was my first kind of long time just concentrating on the road and being based in Europe. So it's the first time as well, kind of being over in Europe, coming back from an injury. You know, now I wouldn't get too stressed. You just accept it as part of the sport. But back then, you know, you can have an injury and you're like, what's going to happen? Season done. And now you're just like, it's part of a job. Yeah. You know, if you have an injury, you do what you have to do to get back. And the time frame's a time frame. So, but yeah, things like that, I look back on and probably didn't deal with it the best at the time. But just kind of gets you ready for the future, because if you want to have a long career on the road, you're gonna have crashes, you're gonna be out middle of season, you're gonna have, you know, time frames to get fit for races again. So yeah, it was a learning curve that year. I think
2016, your brother rolled you up in the under 23 TT. Were you a little bit flat about that? That your younger brother took the title off you?
Yeah, he was really came out flying, especially for the fact that I won the TT year before, and I think I beat him by like 3 minutes or something. But I came back from Europe and he'd really stepped up and progressed and got him really strong. I remember having a pretty late build up with a, when I got back to Australia, a few dummy spits and stuff with the not making a World Cup and a rough season in Europe. I was probably spitting the dummy there as well, and got back on, really back on the rails the last 4 weeks before nationals and went there, but not quite good enough to back up the year before because I think my brother put 20 seconds into me in the TT to win. And then the road race, obviously Chris Hamilton and Lucas Hamilton, super good climbers, went away and I think I was third there as well. So a good start back up from the year before. And it was like at that moment I was starting to get things back together after like a 2015 where I, you know, thought things weren't going well. But looking back, it was not that big a deal.
Where did it start to go wrong in 2015 and how bad did it get?
2015, I think it was... Went over there, you go, probably a pretty high expectations when you win nationals and everything, and then I had to crash. Had some, you know, I was struggling, I think, with the group in the WTA, which a lot of guys can, and some probably thinking I'd get more opportunities and everything, and then obviously the crash as well, you know, the crash and. Just some clashes. I didn't go back into the WTA squad the next year. I remember I went into the Conti, into the 2016. I decided to skip WTA and have, you know, a year away. And then realised actually that it was pretty good support back.
Yeah.
As we all do.
Looking back on these things.
You always get there and you go... You're like, this is terrible, and then you leave, and you're like, oh, actually, it wasn't too bad.
So, who were you with in 2016? Which team?
I was with that American Continental team, Illuminate.
Yeah. Was that a good team?
Like, yeah, good team if you want to just go to a race and have fun, and you know, we didn't have much race food or spare bikes. So
you went good for social,
WTA. Yeah, we did have fun, and there's some stories from the 9 race days I did with them.
9 race days?
Yeah, I did Azerbaijan and pulled out of Iran, basically sick to the point of needing to go on a trip with Scott Sunderland when we got a stomach bug. So that ended Iran, and that was my last race with Illuminate because I took a stage year later in that year after spending a lot of time trying to make the Olympic team and didn't.
Yeah, do you want to talk us through that, getting the call to say that you're missing out on Rio, and do you think that you were... close to making the squad? Do you think you were thereabouts, or do you answer yourself? Probably I wasn't quite at the level.
No, the problem was that they put out before that the team would be probably picked pretty early after track season, and that is that period where I was talking before, coming off 2015, a few dummy spits, didn't make a World Cup, and really was kind of coming by the worlds. You know, we won the worlds, there was going okay, and then it seemed like I really did a good block when I came back after some of the races, you know, in the gym training and really found myself during the camp in the build up to Rio, but it's too late, team's already picked, I'm already reserve, I knew the deal, but I put in a good work like there. Didn't race at the Olympics, but
still had to go though, didn't you?
Still had to go, and I was still there and was feeling really, really good in the whole build up, but the team was picked and the rules are the rules. So it was feeling great, but it was a shame that I wasn't going at that level in the summer. So, yeah, it was disappointing. But then I basically was able to go and, win the time trial Olympias tour, get third at Worlds, get a pro contract off the back of that still.
Yeah.
With pretty small amount of races in the road that year. So it still set me up, and I came out of it, obviously, like, pretty determined to make something of a year and try and get a gig with the pros. So I had a stage year with Wanty just to kind of try and get something, because nothing was on the table, you know, and I hadn't raced in a while, and then had those two strong results which then got, you know, a couple of World Tour teams interested. I ended up going to BMC, so all in all it was disappointing to miss Olympics, but I also realise that it's all a big hype in Olympic year, and then people forget pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, they do forget, and you forget as well. and then we'll have the hype about the next Olympics and next Olympic year, and then everyone will forget about two years later as well. Unless you win gold medals, but.
Yeah. What was Rio like just being there? Was it pretty unreal just being a part of the whole carnival?
Yeah, it was still good to go to, I have to say. Yeah, it was still good to go to. Good experience and, was good. Obviously, I didn't hang around too long after the racing. I just had, still celebrated a couple of nights with the guys after their TP. But then I headed off and started training while they carried on for a week, a week. And started getting fit. And I think the next time trial back was actually the Duo Norman 2-up. And the last TT I'd done with my brother was would have been the Nationals where he beat me. And I said to him at Rio, be ready for Duo Norman TT.
Rip your legs
because off. we want to go well and everything. And it's going to be long and you'll need to be fit. And he had the worst 40K of his life. And he'll tell you that as well. Yeah. After about 10 minutes in, it became an individual time trial.
He just sit on the wheels.
Yeah. So I got one back after the Nationals. And yeah, that's when I knew it was at a good level to try and get a few results on the board.
Did BMC come knocking after the third at Worlds, or did you have things in place before that?
There was a little bit of a connection because I think 2015 had them kind of looking, and there was a possibility to have maybe done a stage year then as well, but I didn't take it with my knee, so I didn't take a stage year that year. And then the year after, I couldn't get a stage year with the World Tour team because I just hadn't raced much on the road.
Yeah.
So I went wanty. And then I think it was after the Olympias Tour TT, they were quite keen. Then the Worlds was like the backup result.
Yeah.
Like, and I was kind of able to, I got the offer after the Worlds, the night after the Worlds road race, and just said yes immediately, didn't really hesitate.
How did it come about? Did Baden just say, look, mate, there's a contract, and you said, yep?
Yeah, I know. I got the email, a phone call from Alan Piper, and he basically just called me direct and said, we're going to give you a ride at BMC if you take it. And it was kind of like a yes or no on the spot.
Yeah.
And at that moment,
of course
you just say yes. It was the best option on the table, and yeah.
So your first race with the team was the National Championships, and you won it.
Yeah.
That must have been pretty good.
Yeah, it was. I think I trained well that summer, better than maybe the year before leading up to Nationals, because I was like really excited.
Pro kid on.
Yeah, exactly. So I trained well with new coach Marco Pinotti. The plan wasn't to be flying at Nationals. We did pretty, not massive weeks. I think some of the weeks were around 15 hours, and then came back from the training camp with him though, where I got hammered, kind of by the Tour Down Under group, and that put me in shape. And then was going, obviously just good enough to get round to Bunning Young that year to kind of hang on, and then just had that move at the end. And it was a pretty good start.
So you did give the mechanic the nod to put the 54 on and wind it up on the downhill. Is that true?
Oh, that is, we did. Yeah, I did put, because I said if I'm still there at the end, I guess I'll just have a go on it. Like, I'm not going to attack on the climb, or I'll kind of go in the last K or two and just go like a max, effort, which suits me. And then I kind of had a plan in my head that if you go before that descent and go as hard as you can there and kind of rest and then go again, it's a good period. So we put 54 on just to kind of be able to get a bit more speed before you kind of tuck on that descent. That was a plan anyway. But put it on thinking that I might not get around the course anyway and I might just get dropped. But it was kind of like, if I do, if I do get around, then I have that there. And then I remember once I got over the hill the last time, I just sat last wheel on the group and just had some gels and a drink and just kind
thinking
of,
I'm going to hit these blokes.
Yeah, and I remember there was guys kind of attacking and everything, Nate, Earl and everything, and I was kind of just didn't even notice it because I was just sitting last wheel.
Yeah.
Just sat there, and then we got there and I turned the corner. I was like, oh, we're all together still. We're like, this time to go. I have to go now. Well, now or never. And then I just went. Yeah.
And how was wearing the national championship jersey for the season? Especially starting off here at Tour Down Under, that must have been an unreal feeling. Wearing the Australian Championship jersey at TDU, as your first season as a pro. Looking back, that's a pretty cool sort of thing.
It was good, and I think it was pretty light on for most of the year after that, results wise. Just maybe a top 10 or so in a time trial somewhere, but pretty just, you know, you go into a big team, so you just go into a riding role, and I think you can just kind of almost, if you're just wearing the kit, you know, people don't take much notice. So it was good in that respect that I guess it kind of got my name out there a bit because of riding in the peloton, but with the national champ jersey on. So I think it was a good way to start my career. Probably was a bit of, it was a bit much too early, like to win straight away and have a national title.
Yeah.
I got a shock when I went to Europe and then had to do some longer races, do some harder races, but it definitely just helped me get noticed and kind of makes you, I guess at times, still feel good. You can have a bad race and get dropped and be going terrible and then tell yourself you're national champion and cheer yourself up.
That's pretty cool. How was it being a first-year pro, setting up in Europe? What was your setup? Because it was a little bit different, wasn't it? The team helped you a lot more?
Yeah, so, you know, basically when I joined the team in that phone call that night, Alan Piper said, the deal is you have to live in Belgium because I want you to learn all the roads and everything for the classics, which is a plan. I missed them last year because with a crash, but in training. But the year before I did most, there was also some, I skipped some as well. It's never perfect, as you know, with cycling. But that was the idea of me moving to Ghent. So still had to kind of find, you know, my place to live and everything. Did a year there, learnt the roads pretty well, learnt the canal well from Ghent to Oudenaarde. it was good to learn the roads. And if I do go back to the classics this year, I do, you know, I know most of those cobbled sections pretty well now just from training and everything. So, yeah.
Were you signed up as a classics rider? Was that their plan for
you? No, it was a little bit. I remember they lost Finney that year with a team time trial, and it just, you know, BMC, they like to have, like, you know, not six guys for the team time trial a bit. They want to have, make sure they have plenty of numbers. So I kind of came in to be strengthen the team time trial as well, or just be an added number. And I went to the Worlds that year, which was a target in Bergen. So that was a target from the beginning of the year. Yeah.
What was the hardest things for you that season? Was it the racing or was it the living away from home part?
Yeah, again, another long season away. I was like, again, I really liked the city and everything, but I think I was pretty on my own for most of that year. I trained, I think, nearly every single day. Not every single day, but 90% of the training rides, you know, you just do alone. So I think it paid off now, maybe mentally. I've spent the season in Belgium just training alone. Like, I mean, some days I didn't complete my training, but some days. But that's like, it's not the worst thing when you're actually young and the races are pretty hard. It can be just as bad to go and train too much, can't it? Yeah. So, it was good to, and I was close to the service course as well. So actually, if I ever had an issue, I wasn't stuck. And I think it was difficult, especially for that season, and maybe also going into the season just being, but it was, probably not a bad thing to do. But, you know, I'm in Girona now and I prefer it there for training.
So was that always the plan, to do 1 year in Belgium, then 2018
maybe
to
meant
Spain?
To be two, but by the end of the year, I think they noticed that, like, training and stuff, I was going to train better if I was somewhere else. And I was working with Panotti that year and he was pretty keen for me to move, because these days you need to be training where you can do some climbs, do some different roads.
Yeah.
You can't train a bike pass in a canal all day.
What do you think of Marco? Did you rate him as a coach?
Marco was good. I've had a few coaches now. I was with Marco from my first year of BMC. I moved to Daniel Green the second year. Now I'm with a French coach in the team, Anthony Ballard. All good, just all different.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
2018, mate, it sounded like it was a pretty rough period for you, especially at the start of the season. Wasn't great for you, was it?
Just last year.
Yeah, just gone.
Yeah, really. It was a pretty bad period. And and I didn't race for quite a while. And I think maybe just coming to Europe again I wasn't the same. So I moved to Girona, but it was a rough period. I had a crash there as well where I had a concussion. Just weird training fall. But even before that, things weren't going great, and it kind of just happened when I went to Europe. Can't really explain why.
Were you just feeling flat?
I don't know. I think I got to Europe and all of a sudden it started in the summer as well. I just wasn't as motivated as what I was other years. Race program and everything was getting moved around a lot with the team. I didn't have that kind of like set, you know, doing the classics. My first races in Belgium, I basically wasn't feeling too great. Got sent to Catalonia, and on the third day just decided in my head, I'm going to stop at this feed zone because I don't want to be here. I just prefer to be at home. And that's normally not like me to just hop off a bike in the past if mentality is good. But just hopped off at the feed, and then I went back to Girona and was out the next classics that I was meant to do because I'd pulled out the race. So
you just pulled off, you were in the bunch and just thought, no, yeah, I've stopped.
So and then just went back and I didn't train for like a week or so, and but then got a phone call that they might actually need me at Roubaix potentially. So got asked to go to just one long training ride, you know, 6 hours to get me ready. I mean, the year before I'd missed some time around the classics as well and was still able to get through because I had this tendonitis. So the plan was I'd go to a ride, got back on the bike. I think I was actually feeling okay because I got my, you know, ass whipped for the first 2 days of Catalonia. It was only 2 days. And and then felt okay, but had a weird fall with Rowan actually, where we connected going around this corner and kind of hit my head. Didn't think too much of it, didn't feel concussed when I did the next climb next to Rowan while he's doing one of his efforts. And on the descent, I just felt sick, like I was going to throw up. So I said, I got to go home. And then, I was bad for, I think basically I was concussed in road, which made it worse because then just walking down the street and everything, felt super sick. So from that, it was like a month, you know, nothing with the new concussion protocols. So yeah, and wasn't sure what to do through that period. I was like, nothing was going well, and I was like, if this doesn't improve, like I'm probably gonna have to, I started thinking, but I was like, if this doesn't improve and my season goes like this, like this could be it, like if I don't get results, or could just be done. So but slowly just kind of got better riding again by middle of the year. It wasn't overnight, like it wasn't like next week like, oh yeah, this is good, but then just started chasing, you know, a result in the second half of season.
So you got motivated again.
Was
there ever a point where you were like, you mentally checked out, like you were saying that like you couldn't get going because of health, but was there ever a point where you're like, even if I'm healthy, like I've had enough, or did it never get
no,
that bad?
I never got to that. I just had the thoughts. I was never like definitely, but I was kind of like, I kind of had in my head that I wasn't going to turn the year around, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I
everything
was
like, had just gone too bad.
I was like, I'm not motivated. I just thought for a while until I started riding again. I think the basically race program was cleared, so I had then no pressure to get back, and I was just riding to enjoy it. I started to learn the roads a bit more in Girona, weather came good,
yeah,
you know, people to train with and stuff. And by second half of the season, you know, I was able to, you know, just get some, be riding well again, be riding at my level. I was lucky. I'd had a third in the time trial Abu Dhabi before I went to Europe, which was a run on the board behind Rowan and Castriva. So I was lucky I did that actually.
Yep.
And then I went to the Bink Bank and had an eighth there against top guys. So I think that was enough to kind of and be riding well again, like just be riding well in the races again. And then was just looking for a ride for this year, whether I was going to stay with, obviously BMC was changing a lot. I mean, with the way things are going, I was pretty keen to maybe move, and that's an option I'd end up we're going, signing with Group Harm FTJ and so far, super happy. But yeah, when I guess, don't really feel like it, but I look back now and I'm just saying it before, I'm like, oh, probably wasn't your standard season, was it? Just for that. But I don't think I'm going to go through that again this year.
Who were the people that were helping you through that rough couple of months?
I kind of actually just used some support, like personal supports, not through the team. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Did the team know what was happening?
They knew a little bit. But with the team, last year, super high pressure. I think they were just, chasing results and stuff. So I just kind of skipped those first races. I wasn't good, and I was telling them that. I said, I'm not good to go to races like now. Second half of the season, I wanted to do every race.
Yeah.
I was trying to get runs back on the board. So, just talk to some people outside of cycling as well, which helped rather than go with the team. It's hard with them when I had a crash and the concussion and everything, but it's hard. You can't really say to the team, I don't want to ride my bike. I don't want to do this. But, yeah, I had my coach and everything was really good there, Dan. So we didn't, when I think about it, I didn't miss massive amounts of time off a bike, but just missed a big block of racing. But did a mid-season block up in Andorra, just got super fit again and, hit the second half of the season well. So just kind of did not a full season, yeah. I guess.
When did Groupama FDJ come knocking?
Because obviously my manager was talking to all of the teams, and it was a kind of, I suppose I started to get a little bit stressed by the time we got past July. But then again, I was getting stressed, but actually I guess teams are probably like, why hasn't this guy raced much?
Yeah.
and then I started racing again end of July at like London, then August. So I did London, then I did San Sebastian, then I went to Bink Bank, and I was eighth in the TT there. And it was during Bink Bank that my manager had talked to Group Arm. And apparently they were really interested. And then I had some talks with like Frederick Grapp, the performance director there. And yeah, at first you're kind of like, oh, French team. I knew already two of my teammates were going there in Stefan and Killian. But I didn't ask them too much, but just talk with the team. I was like, actually, it seems pretty good. And they're actually generally interested. So, yeah. And it sounded like they really wanted a type of rider like me and trying to improve a team time trial and that kind of things. And I was like, well, this could actually be good. This might be the direction I need to go to a team where I can go there and feel like I need to be going well in team time trials and have a purpose. And yeah, it's just them basically decided that actually I'd really like to join the team, and they were really interested. So it basically from by the end of Bink Bank, it was I decided I'd wanted to go there, and yeah.
So they're going to give you a little bit more direction, because from all reports at BMC, kind of felt like you were just another number, just there right in the front, no real purpose.
It was a big, BMC was such a big team and they targeted big races, and it was, I guess I just haven't really thought about too much in my goals this year, because I'm just enjoying it. Well, I just want to race well all the time.
Yeah.
And I just have to see how things are going. But got a bit of a program now. Like the next race I do after Tour Down Under will be UAE. And because there's a team time trial there, and they're going there with two GC guys. And basically I'm going to strengthen that team time trial there. So you're kind of like in your head, okay, I want to go there and do a ripping team time trial to help two of my teammates up there on the GC. So they're already you kind of feel like the next race you need to be good.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for that. And then here at Tour Down Under, it's pretty open in this team. I'm not right. Like Richie's not in the squad. So
yeah, that's good. Getting a little bit more of a license.
Yeah. And, but as much as anything this week, it's about like just really enjoying it. Getting to know the teammates that are here, getting to know the staff and just getting the feel of how the team works. And it's easier to do it for me because I'm here in Tour Down Under,
yeah,
obviously. So there's no real, for me at the moment, there's no real goals. I just want to ride well. So like last, and when I went to nationals, you know, I just wasn't the end of the world when it didn't. I was just frustrated at myself.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm like, oh, it could be nice to, you know, go to a new team and be national champion again.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, it's one thing to think it and then do it is another. So,
yeah.
Yeah, just want to just get back to riding well, ride more consistent, because as we were talking before, last season wasn't very consistent at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've already had a training camp with the team. What's the feel so far? I know it's early. You've probably only had 10 or 11 days with them, but what's the immediate feel with the team environment?
Yeah, good. I actually enjoy. I mean, I'm not speaking very good French yet at all. And
is that something you're going to work on?
Yeah, it's definitely, because when it's a French-speaking team, and I've been studying, but I really need a crack on, because when we get to Europe, French is going to be the only language in the radio.
Yeah.
And it is really important that you get an understanding quickly, so you actually know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think it'll come along well once you spend more time with the team. I just already noticed at the camp that I was doing a bit study every day there and hearing it all the time, it's come along quick. And there's a lot of foreigners that have gone there speaking no French already, and they were speaking by the end of the first season. So it is important. But yeah, it's a real family feeling at Group Armour FDJ, which is nice. I think I actually like it, and it's a lot more relaxed. I mean, there's still a time to be serious, and it is, and you know, chase results, but it's not a team fighting for a sponsor in next year or two anyway. So it's, I've gone from a team like that. I mean, BMC trying to get something, one of the biggest teams in the world, pressure, going for race wins. I mean, it's a little bit different here, the vibe so far. So, and I like it.
Cool. Miles Scottson, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast, and all the best for the rest of the season.
Thanks, Flaky. Cheers.